Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Peace of mind comes as standard with a Kia 7-year warranty.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie, and as usual, 51551, wash your hands. Now, the headline in the Irish Times, COVID tests and trace system far slower than experts recommend. If you heard Dr. Tomás Ryan on the programme yesterday at Lent, him of Trinity College, and that he was basically saying the key now is test, trace, isolate rapidly, 24/7, like a SWAT team almost. I'm putting words in his mouth. He said we have to outrun this virus, given that there's no cure and there's no imminent vaccine. You test people, you get the results as quickly as possible, you tell them the results. And if they are COVID positive, you must then immediately, if it means ringing them at 4 o'clock in the morning, you say, get up out of bed, I hope you're well, get up out of bed, you've tested positive, just stay isolated. Now, give me your people you've been in touch with in the last 2 weeks, and off you go. And then you start at 5 o'clock in the morning, you start ringing those people and say, please isolate until we get to you and get a test to discover. So it's speed, speed, speed to try and outrun this virus, especially as Tomás explained in great detail and with great effect yesterday. The virus can be asymptomatic for 2 or 3 days, so you do not know you have it. So it's really important to test, trace, isolate. Now, Tracy, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Okay, first of all, condolences with your dad, Tom. He passed away on the 24th of April.
That's correct.
And he had the virus.
Yeah.
Okay. So what your worry now is, what's, well, apart from the upset, but what's happened since in terms of test, trace, isolate?
Okay. So he passed away on the 24th, Joe, mm-hmm. and he was only suspected COVID. He'd never had the test.
Okay.
And then we sent him to the Dublin City morgue on the Saturday because we hoped that if we sent him there rather than a funeral home, he could be tested. Because at this stage there was 8 of us in the house when he passed, and we needed to know whether he was positive or negative for all of our sakes.
Of course.
So we sent him to the Dublin City morgue and hoped that he'd be tested on the Monday, and then they told me that they wouldn't test him on the Monday, that they'd just presume he had it. And I pleaded with their better nature and said there was 8 people in limbo and we needed to know whether he was positive or he was negative, because we all had families and we couldn't go back to our own families, our husbands and our children and our wives. And eventually then they changed their decision and they tested him, and we got the results on the Wednesday to say that he was positive.
That's Wednesday the 29th.
Wednesday the 29th. Okay. And then I expected then somebody to contact us to say, you know, we're going to test you. And then nothing happened. And
well,
on Friday,
2 weeks ago tomorrow.
Yeah. And then Friday, the 1st of May, I rang the HSE myself, the helpline, and explained the whole situation and said that 8 of us were now in this house together and none of us can go home and we're all in limbo and we needed to know. And then 24 hours later, I got a phone call back from the same person in the HSE that I spoke to say, did anybody contact you? Mm-hmm. And I said, no, nobody. And they said, we prioritised it. So eventually a lovely HSA doctor rang me and we all got our appointments on Saturday the 2nd for the Monday morning, Monday the 4th, which was a week ago yesterday. Mm-hmm. So we all went and got tested. And then on the Friday, myself and my brother got our results, but the other 6 still haven't got the results to this day.
So who decided, which was an incredibly sensible decision, difficult. Who decided that the 8 of you that were with your dad when he passed, God rest him, that they should stay, you should all stay together in the meantime?
We just decided it was the best thing to do then, rather than going back to our own family homes, because we were basically in limbo. Like when he first passed on the Friday show, we didn't even know if he had it or he didn't. Yeah. And we didn't know that till the following Wednesday for sure.
But you all stayed together?
We did, yeah.
Well, that's fantastic, because there's different pressures on different people.
Yeah.
Families and...
And then my brother came home from England and he's still here. He can't even go back, Joe, because he still hasn't got the results of his test. So his wife and 2 young children are waiting for him in England over 2.5 weeks now.
So the 2 of you that got the results,
yeah,
the negative results on Friday, have you left the building, so to speak?
I've come home, yeah. Okay. I've come home to my house. But the other brother that got his results, he lives in the house, so he's still there.
Okay.
But,
is this the family home?
It's my dad's family home. Yeah,
the seven of them cocooning in.
Yeah.
How are you all getting on?
It's like being teenagers again, Joe.
Yeah.
But the other thing I was very concerned about was the HSE carers that were coming in and out of my dad's house, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I was very concerned that company needed to know that he passed tested positive.
Of course,
and I rang them on the Wednesday when I heard to let them know. And I said to them, are you going to take those carers out of the community now? Because they were still working, going in and out of people's houses. And they told me it was up to me to ring HSE and contact them and tell them, and then contact tracing would be in contact with me and them. And to this day, I haven't heard from contact tracing, so I presume they haven't. So those carers, that was about five of them, they used to come in and out to my dad, none of them have been tested.
You see, this has come up time and time again about carers who are brilliant, going from house to house.
Yeah, and they said to me, were they wearing the PPI? And I said no. They were wearing gloves and that was it. They weren't provided with masks.
But the agency said to you, that's up to you to contact the HSE.
They said, will you contact the HSE helpline?
Yeah.
And then when you do that, then contact tracing will contact us. And when that happens, then we will pull them from the community. And as of today, I've never been contacted by contact tracing. So I presume they haven't either.
Okay. But by the way, your dad's funeral, how did that pass, so to speak?
So, it was, loads of families have gone through that. So it was the 10 of us in the church, which was very sad. But the two things that stood out to me there was my brothers wanted to carry the coffin. And they said that, first of all, they said they weren't allowed. And then they sort of said they insisted. And then they made them wear gloves to carry a closed coffin, which I thought, it's a closed coffin. I don't think that was necessary. And then gave them blue gloves. Like they couldn't even give them white gloves. Or black gloves, blue gloves. And then the other thing was, I said, can we have like, say, a 10 o'clock funeral? And they said, no, you had to have a 9 o'clock funeral so that we would be in and out of the crematorium by 11 because of all COVID victims have to be finished in the crematorium by 11. Wow. I just felt that was a bit discriminating.
Yeah. Strange times. And how long was the service?
Oh, it was normal mass the crematorium. Okay. Yeah, it was lovely mass and friends.
So you're still this household, it's in, I don't know where it is. Is Dublin?
It's in Dublin. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this household that has now got seven, is that correct? Seven people in it.
Yeah.
And they're all waiting on the results of the test, which they did over a week ago.
They did it on Monday, the 4th of May.
Yeah.
Okay. And nobody's had results. And then there's a lady that helps us, mind my dad, and she's older, and she's waiting for a breast clinic appointment. And they rang her last week to ask her, could she come? And then she told them she hadn't got her results, so she missed last week's clinic. Then they rang her yesterday and asked her, could she come? And she missed, this week's clinic. So now she's missed 2 weeks of breast clinic because she hasn't had her results. So that's another worry.
It's the knock-on effect that people are beginning to talk about. The carers has been spoken about, and when this pandemic is over and when we set up a ministry for not just CV19, we're going to have to set up a ministry for viruses, given the world we now live in. One of the questions that should be, without forming a circular firing squad, but one of the questions that has to be asked, because we've heard it again and again and again, is what happened with carers going from house to house, and who was responsible for PPE, who was responsible for telling the HSE if there was a problem? It shouldn't fall on the family. Who do you ring? This should be up to the agency who have contact with the HSE. But anyway, that's just one of the questions and one of the issues that has to be looked at, how many people died. And there's no malice here, but many people died because, unfortunately, carers were up to their eyes and running from house to house. Stay with us, Tracy. Martin Murray.
Okay.
By the way, Tracy, do you want to tell me a little bit about your dad, Tom?
He was just a great man. Great man. Now, he had dementia.
Okay.
So the last few years have been tough. But other than that, he was a brilliant man.
And where was he from originally?
He was originally from the Phoenix Park. And then
what do you mean the Phoenix Park?
Little houses beside the Phoenix Park. That's where
brilliant.
He lived.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he had a garage in the North Strand for the last, 40 years. So he was a great man.
Okay, I don't know whether you want me to give a second name or not, but anyway, it's up to you. But so he was a good man. And was he working when the dementia arrived?
Yeah, he still worked for the first 2 years, up to that. And then he lost his voice. So he couldn't speak for the last 5 years, so he wasn't able to work then.
Okay. And he reared himself and your mother reared how many of you? Is there
five children?
Okay, that's a handful at the best of times. Martin Murray, good afternoon. Hello, Martin.
Joe, how are you?
Good. Your father died on the 6th of May, last Wednesday.
Yes, my dad died on the 6th of May. Yeah, thanks, Joe. Murray is not my name, by the way, but that doesn't make an awful lot of difference.
Okay.
Joe, Dad died on the 6th of May, and he was suffering from prostate cancer, which had spread around his bones and into his organs and whatnot. And for about the last 3 weeks of his life, he was suffering with a chest infection.
Okay.
And we rang Dad's GP and can I just give a little shout out to Dr. Samad and Carol Phelan in the Village Medical Centre in Finglas.
Okay.
They've been brilliant to my mother and father all of their lives and continue to be. And I want to thank them for that. But Dr. Samad prescribed some antibiotics for Dad for the chest infection. And he seemed to be getting better. But then when the antibiotics finished, he started to start coughing again.
Okay.
And what we did was we rang the GP again. The GP gave us a second course of antibiotics. And by this time, the nurses from the palliative care team in St. Francis Hospice in Blanchardstown were coming in and out to Dad.
Okay.
And obviously they were completely gowned up in all of the protective gear. And again, a big shout out to them. They did amazing work for my dad and for us. And if anybody has €5 lying around, you might donate it to them. They surely need every penny they
can
get. Both Dad's GP and the hospice thought that it might be a good idea to get Dad tested for COVID, because just in case that it wasn't a chest infection and that he actually had the virus. So the GP ordered a test in and around the 27th, 28th of April. And we received a call from the HSE asking us to bring Dad to one of the testing centres. And we refused because Dad was obviously on his last legs.
Yeah.
And we weren't going to be able to get him out of the home, never mind out of the bed. So we rang our GP back and said that the HSE had been on and that they wanted us to bring him to an outside test centre. And the GP said, obviously, that wouldn't be good enough and he would order a home test, which he did. And a lovely medic from the HSE, the National Ambulance Service, came out on the 1st of May and tested Dad, carried out the procedure and for the test for Dad. And as he was leaving, he said that he was going to the National Virus Laboratory that day with that and other samples that he had taken, and that he would be leaving them there that day, and we could expect a result in and around the 48-hour mark. So this was the 1st of May, and from the 4th of May onwards, we started ringing the NVRL. And there's an option on their phone line to press for COVID results. When you press that option, we were getting nowhere. It just kept throwing us out. and we were ringing every 20 minutes or so. Now, again, I'm sure they were very busy, and I'm not in any way trying to put a slight against.
No, that's heard.
But Dad died on the 6th of May, last Wednesday. And at that time, we still hadn't got a test result. So remembering the test was done on the 1st of May. And again, we were ringing the NVRL every 20 minutes, half hour, and we're getting nowhere. And eventually, my brother rang the NVRL and pressed a different option number.
Okay.
And by hook or by crook, he got through to a person.
Okay.
And this was on the 6th of May. And the person, he explained our situation, that our dad had died that morning and that we were waiting for the COVID test result. And she said that the test was actually being carried out, worked on at that moment, and that we could give a bell back within about a couple of hours, 3-4 hours, and we could probably get the result then. So we did that, and that person told us verbally on the phone that the test result was negative. Dad did not have COVID-19. We asked when would we get the official result, because by this time, obviously, Dad's GP had been on, and he was anxious to sign the death notification form, and also he was anxious to let the coroner know if it was COVID-19 or not.
Yeah, of course.
We told the GP, obviously, that we had had a verbal confirmation from a doctor in the NVRL. However, that doctor had said that they had no authority over the results, as in they weren't in charge of the texting or the ringing communication, or whatever else.
But your father had the test on the 1st of May. Your father, unfortunately, and you were told on that day that the results would be available within 48 hours because he was very unwell,
exactly.
Obviously. Your dad, unfortunately, died on the 6th of May.
Yes. Today, Joe, is the 12th, and I'm still waiting on that text or call or whatever it may be to say that Dad is COVID negative, was COVID negative.
So 48 hours, 48 hours turned into 12 days.
12 days. And as I say, I still have not received that notification. And you've got to imagine, Joe, like that previous caller that you were speaking to there, that poor lady, and I offer my condolences. You know, we didn't know whether we were then into post-mortem territory. And the last thing we wanted to do was think about our father and having to go through that procedure. The people from the funeral home had to come to get Dad, and they had to come in obviously full PPE, in view of all the neighbours, etc. Dad was at home. I'm not sure whether I said that or not. And obviously, when people are turning up in full gear, people don't know whether it's the Black Plague or whatever's going on in the house, you know. And then, of course, probably the most important thing, we were told, we had done some research and whatnot, and we were told that Dad couldn't come back to his home and we couldn't have an open coffin if he died of COVID. And of course, although we knew he didn't, because there was four of us in the house for the last 2 or 3 weeks of his life, my mother, my brother and my sister and myself, and none of us were showing symptoms, but again, we didn't know officially whether he had COVID or not. We have obviously been told by that
on
lovely person in the...
You haven't got it in writing, either via text or in hard copy.
No, we don't, Joe. And the problem is, I mean, for the nurses that were coming in and out from the hospice, you know, they also don't know, and they were very anxious to find out whether Dad had or hadn't got COVID. And to be fair to them, they did a magnificent job, and you know, they're angels, and there isn't enough time on your show nor anybody else's to tell how good they were. But they also need to know whether Dad had COVID, because they were interacting with him. They were, you know, putting needles in him, etc., and, you know, getting very close to him.
Of course,
they need to know.
Yeah.
I mean, on a personal note, Joe, I had a test at the start of March, had a bit of a chest infection. I work in a government job, and it took me, I had to go home from work. It took me 7 days to get the test, and then my result came 19 days later. So I missed a full month of work for a test that was supposed to be done and finished within 2 days, because I'm considered essential services.
And the test was negative for a finish, which was...
Yes, and my test was also negative. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, monetarily, there's a huge amount of money had been wasted on me being out of work for a month. We're still waiting for that test result for Dad, and I don't know, to be honest, whether the nurses from the hospice could go back to work after they've dealt with Dad, not knowing that he's got or had not got COVID. We told everybody that we got a verbal result, but of course, as you're well aware, in the medical game, it's what you can prove, not what you can be told. So it's horrible, Joe.
Yeah, it speaks for itself, and that's we just want to let people tell their stories, and I presume people are working on trying to improve it dramatically. Tell us about your father, Louis Holohan, very famous name, and just the surname anyway. Tell us about your dad briefly, Martin.
My dad was an inspiration to me and all of my family. He was 85 years old when he died. He was the most kind, gentle man you could meet. He worked hard every day of his life up until he was 70 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, Joe, he got better as he got older. You know, we, of course, grew up in hard times, and Dad was the only person who had a job in the home, and he was supporting 7 children and my mother, and having to listen to my mother giving him loads of it, you know. wouldn't have been easy.
I'm sure she endured a fair bit of verbal as well.
Oh,
in a household with 7 children, my God. What did Louis work at?
He was involved in metal fabrication and sheet metal work for the majority of his life. And at the end of it, well, when that became a bit too much, Dad always had was blessed, if you want to call it that, with lung problems all his life. He never smoked and didn't drink worth a damn. His brother Pat. Gave him a job driving a van for him for a company that he owned. And by the way, can I just tell you that on the day before my dad died, Dad's one and only brother, Paddy, it appeared, had a stroke, and is now currently in Blanchardstown Hospital trying to get himself back to normal. And Paddy would have been all over us trying to do everything for us and make everything better. So all I just want to say to him, and obviously to his family, is Paddy, you get better.
Don't be
worried about us, and don't be worried about Dad. You get better, and when you do, we'll see you, and we can have a chat, and we can talk about old times.
Okay, stay there, Martin. Rachel is in Bray. Rachel, your husband had the test when?
He had the test on the 6th of April, and he still has no results.
Wow. And why was he prompted to have the test?
Well, he was having symptoms.
Okay.
And he isolated for 2 weeks, and he was told he was having a test. And then they changed the protocol, and he was told he wasn't being tested. So he went back to work then, and then he was still having symptoms like night sweats and tightness in his chest, etc. And so the doctor decided to send him for a test. So he got tested within 3 days.
Good, yeah.
But it's still waiting for the results. And he's a public sector worker dealing with public, and he was just told to go back to work after 2 weeks.
And how is he now?
Well, he's fine now, but he doesn't know whether hasn't had it, whether he's immune to it now. So just no news whatsoever. He rang the doctors last week, and they just said to him that, he just has to wait and get a text.
And he's still waiting, unfortunately.
Just still waiting. And then you hear on the news then, oh, between 5 and 7 days, the test results are back. So I don't know whether his tests were lost or...
And you see, I'm so pleased that your husband is well again, Rachel. But the other thing is, if he had it at that time, surely we'd want to know where he was and who he might have passed it on to inadvertently.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's dealing with a lot of public in his job and a lot of kind of elderly people. So
I don't know. We're trying to find out how many people have been mobilised from across the public sector to do tracing, to do the phone calls. Have librarians being inducted? Have civil servants who have no work because of the world we live in, have they been inducted to do tracing 24/7? Just highlights it. Rachel, thanks indeed, and thank your husband for his wonderful service, and you too. Martin, God rest Louis Holohan, and Tracy, God rest Tom as well. God rest your dad. The three people we've been talking to in the last 20 minutes. Okay, joe@rt.ie, 51551, my chance.